McDavid charging down the ice. He's got a stick. He's in. Backhand. Score. A beauty.
One year, one and a half year here, get me more confidence. For sure, I'm stronger and faster, and I feel like I'm growing up for person and player a lot. Feels like I'm like ready to get the new step for the NHL.
Now McDavid across the drive, scores 100 points for Leon.
We could learn from what we went through, and everyone's pissed off about it. I think that's the best way to describe it. But there's a taste in everyone's mouth that's very, that no one likes. We need to find a way to not have that taste. And we've had it 4 out of 5 years here. So, you know, we need to be better.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast on this Tuesday, March 9th. How you doing? You're back in the win column. You must be feeling good. I'm Hernan Salas from TSN 1260, the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast, joined by my producer Juanito. Connected me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. We're going to recap last night's 3-2 win by the Edmonton Oilers. We'll also get to who's sizzling, who's fizzling. Game cliche. We'll hear from James Neal and Dave Tippett and get our daily bets in as well as, I hit on mine yesterday. What did I say about the Minnesota Wild defeating the red-hot Vegas Golden Knights?
Pay that man his money.
Damn straight. I made some nice little cash there on that bet. But we'll get to that in the third segment. Let's get right to it. The Edmonton Oilers pick up a 3-2 win over the Ottawa Senators. Not a good start as Mikko Koskinen led in another stinker 50 seconds into Evgeny Dadonov, who's had some success against the Edmonton Oilers this season. And the Oilers were once again chasing the game. Mikko, I'll say this, he has to get that out of his game. It's happening far too often. Yes, don't come at me with Mike Smith. He has led in a few stinkers as well. But Mikko Koskinen, it's happening more and more as we go on into the season. So yeah, he's got to get that out of the game. Did he settle down? Sure. But when you saw that one going, we kind of all looked at each other there at the arena. We're like, oh dear. Good thing, Kyler Yamamoto on a deflection would tie it off a Nurse point shot. That's goals in two straight games for Yamamoto, and that's how the first 20 would end, tied at one. The top line for the Edmonton Oilers had some good shifts in that game, in that period, sorry, as well. And then how about the Kyra? It was kind of a clean hit. It looked like a knee on knee initially, but it wasn't. It was called a trip. Kind of got caught up there with the Sens player, and then Gudbranson comes in and he has to fight him. And it's just getting, every hit has to be a fight now. Like, it's getting ridiculous. Gudbranson a lot bigger than JJ Kara, but a good on JJ for holding on, yeah, against a much bigger opponent. So JJ Kara doing some good stuff. He's definitely a different player from since coming back in the lineup after sitting out a few there earlier on in the season when he didn't have much going on. To the second, the Oilers would add two. Chase on a nice finish on the power play, and Leon Draisaitl down the left wing beats the court for his 11th of the season. That would make it 3-1. The impressive journey. German Stützle would get one back late in the period, and we would head to the third with the Oilers up 3-2. In the third, no goals to report. McDavid, oh, how about that breakaway? Great stop by DeCord again, and he was able to whack at it a few other times. That DeCord was game there, and how about Leon? And the Oilers did kill off a power play in the third as well, so good on him for that. And Leon, for the second straight game, misses an open net to ice the game there with the goalie. He pulled it. The one guy you'd expect not to miss a net, but Leon, yeah, he's got to work on that empty net. But the Oilers pick up an important 2 points and win their second straight. They're back at it tomorrow against the same Ottawa Senators. Hey, man, that's a feisty group. They got some nice young talent there. And their goaltending's improved from beginning of the season. And they're playing some nice hockey right now. So the Oilers have to be game. My notes, Mikko Koskinen, yeah, he did settle down a bit, but he did look shaky at times. Made 26 saves for the win again. Got to get that bad goal out of his game quickly here with Alex Stalock due probably to get out of quarantine in about, what, another maybe 5-6 days, and we'll keep tabs on that. This was definitely Kyle Turris' best game as an Oiler, and he had some nice setups in the first period. I think he had 2-1 to chase on right in the slot. Oh, sorry, maybe it was JJ Kyra. Yeah, it was JJ Kyra. They just couldn't finish, and he had the primary assist on Draisaitl's GWG. So Kyle Turris, and he spoke after the game and said, yeah, he hasn't been good enough, so definitely can build off the this game, because he was engaged, and you actually noticed him out there for a good reason. So good on Kyle Turris. The nuclear line was really good. Man, they had some dominant shifts in this game, and man, 97-29. I know it's not ideal, and I know some people don't really like it, but they're just so damn good together, and we'll hear Dave Tippett's comments on playing these two guys together, but man, they had some shifts where it doesn't do it justice watching it on TV. Like, we're in the arena, and the way they're just tossing that puck and reading off each other is just absolutely fantastic. So dynamic, and at times they just toy with the opposition. So look for that line to stick together. I didn't mind the new look line of Nugent Hopkins, Jesse Puljujärvi, and Tyler Ennis. They had some good moments in this game. And how about Jesse and his butt checks, eh? Laid 2 cents players out using his booty. He's a big boy. And I know one of his pressers, maybe Sunday, he said about his big butt. But yeah, he laid one, I remember, in the first period. And he just kind of turned and gave him the good old butt check. And the Ottawa center to went flying. So Jesse, man, he's learning how to use that big frame of his. So good on him. Adam Larson, I'll say this, man. And I was harsh on him. I was really harsh on Adam Larson. I wasn't impressed with him early on in the season. He was struggling mightily. But man, has he turned his game around. I thought he was solid last time. He's physical. He's breaking up plays. His passing, listen, it is what it is, guys. It's never going to be a strong suit, but he was absolutely fantastic. So Adam Larson, good on him for turning this game, because they need this guy. And if he can return to that form of 2017, his first year in Edmonton, it's going to be really, really good for the Edmonton Oilers. So good on Adam Larson. The pair of Jones and Bear, they were good. There was a couple plays where you thought Bear was going to get beat to the outside, but he recovered well. Caleb Jones didn't play a lot. He was the only defenseman under double digits for ice time. So we'll see if Bush. I know a lot of people are asking for Bush to come in, but when you're winning, why change up the lineups? All right, guys. One of my hot tips was the special teams, and the Oilers went 1-for-3 on the power play and killed off both Ottawa penalties. So definitely hit on that one. The Oilers had 21 hits in this game, 21 blocks, and we're 60% in the faceoff circle. And now they sit second in the North Division at 16-11 with 32 points. They're on a 2-game winning streak. Senators are 9-18-1 with 19 points last in the North Division. Oilers now 5-0 versus the Sens this season, outscoring them now 21-12. And Koskinen moves to 3-0 versus the Ottawa Senators. Let me know what you thought of the game last night. I know on the post-game show, people were like, it wasn't the best game, most entertaining. No, they're not all going to be like that. And I know everybody was expecting McDavid and Draisaitl and Yamamoto to put up like 10 points, but you got to give credit to Ottawa. They hung in there. They got the first goal. Even down 3-1, they were able to get one back. And third period was pretty even. So, and their goaltender there as well played pretty good last night. So, yeah, not the best of games, but you got points, and that's all that matters. All right, guys, coming up next, we will hear from James Neal. We'll hear, the real deal was held off the score sheet last night, but he joined the media today, so we'll get some thoughts from the real deal, James. And you'll also hear from Dave Tippett in the third segment, and coming up next as well, some NHL news, and we'll get to practice notes, some juicy practice notes from today. That's all coming up next on the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. You're listening to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas, from TSN 1260. hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man Locked On Oilers. Kind of forgot what I was doing there. Only Tuesday, Hernan. It's only Tuesday. Right, guys, let's get to some practice notes for today before we get to the real deal, James Neal. Mike Smith was in the starters net. No surprise there. I'm not surprised. I know there's a lot of people on Twitter wanting them to go to more of a split, but no, I'm rolling with Mike Smith. Top two lines remained intact, as well as the Neal Haas Chase on line. No Josh Archibald or Kyle Turris on the ice today. So Patrick Russell took Turris's line spot on the line with JJ Kyra and Devin Shore. So three of the four lines remain intact, and no Kyle Turris. So Russell was in his place. I don't get it with Patrick Russell, but anyways, Joachim Nygaard with Cahoon and Zach Cassian were the fifth line, as Zach Cassian was back on the ice. Dave Tippett will update us in the third segment on that. And yeah, it's gonna be interesting when Arch and Cassian are due back. And keep in mind, Cahoon's out of the lineup right now as well. Like, what's gonna happen here? There's a lot of depth, and that's a good problem for Edmonton to have for sure. So those are your practice notes. Mike Smith in the starters net. Three of the four lines remain the same. No Turris or Arch at practice today. So Patrick Russell was with JJ Kyra and Devin Shore, and Nygaard and Cahoon remain out. And defensively, nothing to report. We'll wait and see tomorrow if Bush draws back in. I highly doubt it. They've won two games with the six guys in there right now, so he might have to wait one or two more games to get back in. But I want to ask this. What's up with Dominic Cahoon? What have you thought of him? This is the question of the day. Right now, what grade would you give Dominic Cahoon so far this season? He's got 4 goals and 4 assists. He's played mostly with Draisaitl and Yamamoto. And I've said it all along, and I know some of my colleagues and buddies in the media disagree. They think Cahoon's been good. I think he's been okay. I don't think he's been terrible. I don't think he's like, oh my God, get rid of him. No. I makes good plays at times. He's not a liability defensively. But when you're playing with Draisaitl and Yamamoto, you can't be sitting at 4 goals and 8 points. That's just my opinion. I'll give you my grade right now. I honestly, for going with the good old letter here, I'd probably have to give him a B minus. That's anywhere from just 70 to 73%. I think he's made good plays. Sometimes he's just not finishing them. Or it's kind of, he scored 2 goals in 1 game. And then I think his first 2 goals of the season scored in back-to-back games. So he's kind of you can tell he gets hot for a game or two and then he kind of falls off. He's not playing bad, but production wise it's not where he should be when he's playing with a guy like Leon Draisaitl on Kyle Yamamoto. So I'm gonna give him B-. I don't think that's too low, but I don't think he deserves anything higher than that, just solely on the production that he's put up so far in the top six. So we'll see what happens here moving forward. Currently at practice today, he was out of the top 12, so the coach is not happy with his play right now, or else he'd be in the lineup. So yeah, we'll see what happens going forward with Dominic Cahoon. This is a guy that's gonna get back in the lineup, but like I said, with Cassian and Arch coming back and Ennis playing well, just Puljujarvi's not going anywhere. Like, where does he fit? Or do you want to play him on your fourth line? Probably not. That's not ideal. So it's definitely an interesting situation here with Dominic Cahoon. So I want to know from you. Let me know on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. What grade would you give Dominic Cahoon? He has 8 points so far this season. Sat out last night and looks like he'll sit out tomorrow night as well. We don't know that for sure. I'm assuming, but he wasn't in the top 12 today at practice. All right, guys, let's get to some audio here. We'll hear from the real deal, James Neal, as he met with the media today.
Does it become a self-perpetuating thing because you have confidence against them, or is it the opposite, that it becomes increasingly difficult to beat a team 4, 5, 6 times in a row?
I mean, I think you try to build confidence. I think you, from game to game, is everything's different. And for us, I think, after we lost to the Leafs 3 times and wanted to have a good game against Calgary and then continue to pick points up and build our game, and just kind of the way it's been happening.
James, they seem like a group that, you know you're going to have to kind of bring your lunch bucket a little bit to play against them. Like, they're not afraid to be physical. They got some guys that are, you know, greasy and work pretty hard. Is it easier to get up for a game where you know you're going to have to play that way to compete with them?
Yeah, like I said, they're young, full of energy. They're scrappy. They do everything. So, they're looking to outwork you, and they got some high end skill to go with that. So, for us, like I said, it's just going into the game with the right mindset, trying to get better in our game and be strong defensively and let our offense take over from there. So we've played them well. I expect them to come out a little more refreshed and have a little bit more energy come tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, James, I know you've played with Mike now for a few years, Mike Smith, and I know you're a guy as a shooter who kind of keeps a close eye on goaltenders. I'm wondering if you can tell me if there's anything you see different in him this year in terms of the way he's playing other than the success, just from watching him.
No, he's just dialed in. Highly competitive guy, wants to win badly and wants to give us a chance to get a win every night. So he goes in there and does a job, but he definitely doesn't show his age. That's for sure. He's in unbelievable shape and he's just a good leader for our group. So he's been great for us. So it's been nice.
McDavid and Draisaitl appeared as dominant as ever yesterday. From a forwards perspective, what makes those two so compatible?
Yeah, they're dominant, that's for sure. I mean, just the way they read off each other, the way Drak can pass it, the way Dave builds his speed. They just find each other all over the ice and little spots through the neutral zone, little spots in the offensive zone. So they're very predictable for each other. So it's fun to watch. They're two unbelievable players, unbelievable guys. So it's nice to be able to have that when maybe things aren't going the right way for us. We can switch the lines up like that, and those guys can go kind of take over and we'll follow.
And even though they were so played so well together yesterday, Dave said it's still a work in progress for the rest of the forward group. What does the rest of the forward group have to do just when those two are playing together?
Yeah, I think for us, we just got to kind of get into our roles here. Have confidence in the game we're going to play from each guy. So we're getting there. That being said, there's ups and downs this season. So things are going to get switched around. Things are going to happen. Injuries, guys maybe not playing as well as they should. All those different things go into lineups and line changes. So I think you just got to control what you can control, come to the rink and try to be your best self.
Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, guys, that was James Neal meeting with the media today. He was on the line with Gaetan Haas and Alex Chiasson, and of course, gets some time on the power play there in front of the net. Him and Chase on the usually split. Let's get to some news from around the NHL. Justin Dowling and Colton Seaver cleared waivers. Jack Eichel out with an upper body injury. He will not play tonight. They're on a 7-game losing streak. Ugh, they're in tough. The Canucks also announced that Elias Pettersson is out at least another week. How about this one? Jake DeBrusque, healthy scratch for tonight's game. So fantasy players out there, no Eichel, no Pettersson, no Jake DeBrusque. Rupe Hintz, which is weird. I have him on one of my teams, and he plays one game, and then he's out injured the next game. Like, he hasn't played back-to-back games, I think, in a while. He was at the morning skate on the second line, but he's still listed as a game-time decision, so check his status just before puck drop. Goalie starting tonight for your fantasy teams. Keith Kincaid will go for the Rangers. Malcolm Subban for the Blackhawks. Tuukka Rask stayed back in Boston, so Halak gets the start. They're saying it's just rest for Mr. Rask. Scott Wedgwood goes for the Devils. Bob Sergei Bobrovsky goes for the Panthers. Jonas Johansson for the Buffalo Sabres. Anton Khudobin for the Dallas Stars. And Freddie Anderson for Toronto. That's all we know up till now. So, yeah, the big one there, though, Jack Eichel out again with an upper body injury. And Pettersson at least another week for the Vancouver Canucks, who picked up a big win last night. And Jake DeBrusque, a healthy scratch, a coach there saying he just needs a little more from his young forward. 9 games in the NHL tonight. 4:00 start, Penguins and Rangers. Boston's on the road to take on the New York Islanders. The Philadelphia Flyers welcome the struggling Buffalo Sabres to town. It's the Devils and Caps from Washington. Nashville's on the road to take on the Hurricanes. Columbus hosts the Florida Panthers. Toronto takes on the Winnipeg Jets. Detroit is home to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the very surprising and impressive Chicago Blackhawks are in Dallas to take on the Stars. All right, guys. Coming up next, who's sizzling? Who's fizzling? Game cliches. And we'll hear from the head coach. Dave Tippett. That's all coming up next on the Locked On Oilers podcast. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. The NHL is well underway, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore and get in on the action. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Last segment here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Hope you're enjoying the day outside. It's about +3 right now. The sun is shining. Spring is just around the corner. We're getting closer to that March 11th date. I'm going to have a special podcast with Tom Gzola and Matthew Iwanyk because we worked that night when the Oilers were playing Winnipeg and the NBA shut down. And the next day, the sports world was completely shut down. And man, we had no idea what we were in store for that week and then heading into the weekend. And then, yeah, we all know it. Kind of want to hear from you as well. So let me know. Send me a private DM or anything like when you first heard about Rudy Gobert and the NBA shutting down and what your thoughts were. That's why I'm going to have the two guys. We all worked together. We all went for a beer after. It'd be our last beer for many months out in public. So, yeah, I want to hear your stories. Like, what did you think at the time? Were you like, there's no way this, the NHL shutting down? Is it going to be 2 weeks? Is it going to be 2 months? Any of us think we'd have to wait for until August to get some playoff hockey? The Oilers lasted 6 days, which is even more crushing. But nonetheless, that should be a fun one just to kind of go back in a year kind of since Rudy Gobert and the NBA kind of shocked the North American sports world on March 11th, 2020. All right, guys, let's get to Dave Tippett as he also met with the media today. And let's kick it off with what you heard James Neal talk about it. I've talked about it. And just kind of like, what would it take to keep 97 and 29 together, you know, for more than just a few games, I guess?
You know, sometimes you just play a hunch that it's time to put them together and maybe get a bounce. You know, there's just, as the season goes on, there's just, I don't know, there's just different times that come along that you know, you're looking for a different look just to jumpstart your group. And that's what we did. And went back with them again last night. I thought the line was very good last night. So we'll see how it goes here day to day. And the other thing is we want to try to get a read on the other lines, how the rhythm of your lineup goes when you do have them together. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. I wouldn't say anything set in stone, but just felt like it was the right time to try it.
That was Dave Tippett on Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl playing together. They got put together in that game versus Calgary. They didn't start together, and then they played the whole game last night, and we're probably going to see that tomorrow as well. They're so much fun to watch. One guy that's been out for a while here, Zach Cassian, and it's going to be interesting to see when he's ready to go, where he draws into this lineup. But here is Dave Tippett on gives us an update on Zach Cassian.
He's coming. He still hasn't been cleared by the doctors, but it was first day with our group. He's been skating for a few days on his own. So the first day with our group, I think he's progressing. He's got to get cleared by the doctors, which I don't think would, at the earliest, might be the end of the week. So we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, good news. The Oilers getting some healthy bodies back, and Zach Cassian, and especially in that game, he dropped the gloves. He was getting more physical, and we were kind of seeing the old Zach Cassian. So hopefully he can return and bring kind of that jam that we saw also back in 2017 when he was absolutely outstanding for the Edmonton Oilers. Mikko Koskinen, Mike Smith have both let in some very bad goals this year. The last time it was in Vancouver, and they were able to win that game. And last night as well, they were able to pick up the win despite the early bad goal 56 seconds into the game. Here's Dave Tippett on overcoming the bad goals.
Yeah, I mean, that's bad bounces happen in a game. If you're going to let one play like that dictate the outcome, then you're not a very good team. So I like the way we stick with it. There's mistakes that are made. You got to overcome them. And that's last night. Our guys, we talked about it from the start of the game, and we got to play a 60-minute game. We're going to win this game. And that goal went in early, and we still had lots of time to go. So we didn't change our thoughts whatsoever. It's nice that we went back and got the next one and got it to even, but I thought we played a pretty solid game for 60 minutes.
You know, it's funny that we tweeted out the lines yesterday for the station, and it almost felt like we were being attacked for the lines. We're just going with what we know the lines are going to be, but lot of people up in arms about Bouchard not playing and how overrated Ethan Bear is. And I just want to say this, like, let's pump the brakes a bit. We all were so high. Well, I shouldn't say were. We're still very high on Ethan Bear. Like, what he did last year to come into this team, he was absolutely outstanding for the team. Yes, this year he's been kind of up and down. But this guy's a hell of a player, and he's still young. Keep that in mind. So for all those people saying that he's so overrated and Bouchard needs to play ahead of him, let's pump the brakes a bit. I know Bouchard's been impressive, and I'd like to see him in the lineup too, but it's a good problem when you have this much depth. And that's going to lead into the final clip here from Dave Tippett, as Ryan Rashog asked a great question on young guys needing to play, for sure. But where is the line on playing a young guy enough and keeping a competitive blue line? Here is Dave Tippett.
You try to walk that fine line all the time, but you got to remember, these are not normal circumstances. It's not as if you can send them down for a game and get them a game and bring them back. That's just not happening these days. So we monitor as best we can. He got in, he actually played well, and we're cognizant of that all the time. But you're trying to get your team up and going, and every night is a valuable, valuable 2 points. You're trying to find the best way to get 2 points that night. And there's been, there's been young players come in and play well for a little bit and then take a step back. So where we have depth on defense, we're going to use that depth as it goes here. You know, going into last night, I think it's 12 games in 21 days. So you're going to see a lot of people in the lineup. Bush has worked hard in practice. He's been an excellent teammate. He understands what's going on. When he gets his opportunity, he's got to be ready, just like other younger players on our team that, or players on that taxi squad, they've got to be ready. When they get called upon, they gotta get in and do the job. So I understand exactly what you're saying about young players need to play. We were fortunate that Bush played in Europe before we got started. He's come in and played a little bit, but you also got to understand it's a different year. It's a different year. You can't just have your players heading to Bakersfield and play.
Well, that's a great point there. And I guess my point was, like, you don't have to dislike Bear just because you want Bouchard in. I think Bear did great stuff last year. He's only going to get better. Yeah, he struggled in some games here since his return, but he's a hell of a player, and he's going to be one hell of a defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers. And so is Bouchard. I mean, I was like, don't play him, but I've watched him play this season. He's the best puck-moving defenseman the Edmonton Oilers have. He does stuff that other Oiler defensemen can't do with the puck on their sticks. So, listen, I get it, but there's only six spots, and you got to – and Dave Tippett's always going to go with what he thinks is the best opportunity to win that game. And right now he's letting Bear and Jones figure it out, and you got to respect that. And eventually, you know, you're going to see Bouchard back in the lineup. So it's a good problem to have, guys. And I get the frustration sometimes that the young guys are not getting as much games in and all that. But keep in mind, Bear is still fairly young as well, and so is Caleb Jones. All right, guys, let's get to who's sizzling and who's fizzling. Who's sizzling? Got to go with the captain, Connor McDavid. 5 points in his last two games after having none in the three against Toronto. So he's definitely upped his game and looking good out there. He was stopped on a breakaway last night. Great save as well. But Connor McDavid looking good. And we'll see what he can do in the next game if he continues to play with Leon Draisaitl and Kyler Yamamoto. Who's fizzling? This one's tough again. Yesterday, I don't think anyone really stood out poorly. Kyle Turris, he played his best game. I really like Devin Shore and JJ Kara. The fourth line, Chiasson, Nylén, Haas, they were good. They were okay. Nothing really to harp on. I like the top two lines. Defensively, I don't think anyone stood out for any bad reasons. So I'm going to give it to Mikko Koskinen for that bad goal. And I know I'm going to take some heat for this, but seriously, who else would you give it to from yesterday's game? So I'll just give it to Koskinen. A little unfair, sure, because he picked up the win and settled down after that bad goal. But he's got to get that goal out of his game here moving forward. So Mikko Koskinen gets my who's fizzling game cliche. My guy sent me this, and I'm pretty sure I know who this is.
I felt like I had my legs under me.
Let's hear that again, Juan.
I felt like I had my legs under me.
That's definitely Kyle Turris. Yeah, like I said, one of his better... No, not one. It was his best game as an Edmonton Oiler. Picked up an assist on the game-winning goal. Had two beautiful setups in the first period. He just looked engaged. So good on Mr. Kyle Turris. He gets the game cliche today. Bet of the day. I did hit yesterday with my Minnesota pick against the red hot Vegas Golden Knights today. Boston Bruins, no Rask, no DeBrusk. They're on the island. Both teams right now even at minus 105. But you know what I'm going to do? There's two bets I like. I like Toronto to snap their losing streak at minus 182. Again, a favorite there. Not gonna probably make a lot depending on what you bet, but I like Toronto. And I also, one risky bet, I like Columbus at home to beat the Florida Panthers. And they're currently at plus 120. I don't know. I mean, Columbus has been struggling as of late. I just like the odds in this one. So I'm going to roll with Toronto Maple Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Two separate bets. So, let me know what you're thinking out there for bets tonight. And then the Oilers back in action tomorrow. I failed yesterday. I put 3 points for Draisaitl. He only got the one, obviously, but I'm going to keep going with that one, especially against Ottawa, if that line sticks together. So McDavid and Draisaitl, pick one or pick both, I don't know, but they're due for one of those enormous games that they usually have, where they have 3, 4, 5 points. So we'll keep tabs on that. All right, guys, this is going to wrap up this edition of the Locked On Oilers. The Oilers coming off a 3-2 win. It's second in the North Division now with 32 points, 16-11, and they're back at it tomorrow against the same Ottawa Senators. Check the puck drop. It's at 6 o'clock, guys. 6 o'clock, so it's a nice and early one. And we'll see if the Oilers can keep up their dominance of the Ottawa Senators. 5-0 this season versus the Sens, but you know that team's feisty, so they're gonna bring it tomorrow. The Oilers better be ready. We'll tee it up tomorrow on another edition of the Locked On Oilers podcast. Once again, appreciate all the support. Keep the downloads coming. Subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. For the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your day. Chat tomorrow.